The figure was tall, skeletal, and wore a colourless robe which was older than time.
"Hello, Charon," Kithaeris said cheerfully as he approached the ferryman. "How are you on this fine day?"
Charon's hooded head swayed back and forth like a drunken tree in a cold wind.
"Day? Night? I have heard of these things, yet I know them not."
"It was Sara," I say, sitting opposite them.
"As in your sister?"
Josie continues, mouth agape when I nod.
"I didn't know you were still in contact with her."
"It's been a very recent reunion," I say truthfully.
"She's your twin, isn't she?"
says Petal, sticking her empty glass back on the table.
"Do you two look really identical?"
I open my mouth to answer, but Josie beats me to it.
"Pretty much."
Now, I know it's just a normal smile, but I'm wondering if she knows. Pressing her fingertips together, Madame Racine pulled out of the inner circle's telepathic link. She was sick at heart, on the verge of exhaustion, every muscle quivering from strain. She glanced across her library at Tony's photograph and slumped back in her chair. He hadn't even made it to the hospital. James waited patiently by the door. Not only her butler, but her closest and most accomplished colleague. Racine had never appreciated him more than she did now.
I stood at the very bottom and couldn't believe my eyes when I saw this enormous piece of tree get shunted down. It was pandemonium. It flew down, then bounced a bit and stopped at various points where it was more level. Each time I had no idea if this tree was going to just go all the way down the mountain, destroying who knows what below me. In the end, we did it. No wood lost and no small villages destroyed. We had enough wood for the job and a great carpenter ready to help us install it.